first for the Bucks.
Zeke Elliott bumped the ball.
Jalen Smith.
That is a play to remember.
Oh, what a tackle by Jalen Smith.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the next episode of the Frisco Report, coming at you guns blazing. We got a lot of information to pass along to you. Great discussion coming up with my co-host Mike. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Joe? Hope your week's been good for you, man.
It's been good. It's been good, and I think the Cowboys' week is looking good as well. You know, looking at these moves that they're making on the coaching staff. Let's talk about that a little bit here, Mike. You know, it looks like he's got Mike McCarthy. Obviously, has given they gave him the full reins. You know, that was kind of one of the biggest question marks coming into this new hire was he going to be forced to keep, you know, Chris Rashard, Rob Marinelli, these kinds of guys, and it hasn't been the case. So, what is your take on the coaching staff?
Oh, so far, I mean, they look good on paper. You know. Mm-hmm. But you know, you gotta go see, you know, what they can go do. I mean, we've been seeing a bunch of coaching grades on social media, and articles and stuff, but you really can't give them a grade and see how they translate to the players, see how the players and their scheme translates on the field. And you don't find that out till the end of the season, maybe even in 6 weeks of playing football. So, you know, so far, so good. I mean, the names are big names, lots of experience. Some of them have a lot of head coaching experience. You know, they only kept two from the Jason Garrett era. Doug Neuschmeyer is now the quarterback coach, and Kellen Moore is still the offensive coordinator. So, you know, some really good things. And I'll tell you this, Joe. One thing that I really love what Mark McCarthy's doing is there's no – on the job training for any of these guys on his coaching staff. I mean, you look at what Jason Garrett had, and it was on the job training for a lot of those guys. Kellen Moore, Leon Lett had no coaching experience. John Kitna, who did really well, had really no coaching experience in the National Football League. So Jason Garrett had a lot of on the job coachings that never really translated to what we wanted to be. But Mike McCarthy, he has experience.
Yeah, I mean that is exactly correct. You know, it's the whole Garrett situation was just learning on the job, man. You know, just and his coaches too. You know, and the thing that I didn't really like, you know, when you go back and you look at it, is they had too many ex Cowboys coaching here and there, and it's just like, you know, you hear about it with Wade Phillips, and I think it kind of, you know, went over onto the Jason Garrett era, like Camp Cupcake and that kind of thing. You know, it's like, I mean, I don't know. I feel a lot better with this Mike McCarthy staff. I think it's a big reason why he got hired. You know, preparedness is a big thing, and Jerry, you know, he pointed that out, you know, when he talked about Belichick, and we've kind of talked about that before, but I think it's more of the same. You know, he comes in here to the interview. All right, Mike, well, you know, What are your ideas? Who do you have in mind to bring on? And I'm pretty sure he had this list, you know, like here's some coaches that I'm thinking about bringing in here. Here's how they'll elevate the defense. Here, these players will get elevated by this coach. So, I mean, I'm ready to see what happens here, man. It's very exciting. You know, we went from being very shell shocked from the season, the disappointment, to elation and happiness and excitement. So it's still really good to be a Cowboys fan right now. We're back at it. Fans are energized, and it's looking good right now on paper. So we'll see how it looks when they execute it in game action.
And I can't speak for everybody, but sometimes I still have to pinch myself because I still can't believe we have a new era in Dallas. Because it was the same routine for 9 years, and now it's holy crap. We got somebody new in here. I mean, it's still like I probably watched a Mike McCarthy press conference like 5 times since it happened, because I still can't believe it.
No, I know, man. I did too. I watched everything every time he comes on and speaks, whether it's 105.3 The Fan or, you know, on .com or whatever. But It's good to hear him talk, man. You can tell he's a leader of men. You know, he's gonna his expectations are gonna be high, and he has a ring. He's walking into the building with the ring, so these players know that there's that level of respect. You know, this guy's coming in here with the ring. He's a proven his program has been proven to work. You know.
Yep. So, that's very true.
Yeah, so they're looking at that and. That'll trickle down, you know. For me, the head coach and how he is trickles down to the team. Players. Yeah, to the players, man.
And Tennessee Titans is a prime example of that. Yeah. With their head coach mm-hmm. and the way what they did as the a sixth seed, an underdog, and they lost the AFC championship, but their mindset was just like their young coach over there in Tennessee. So it's going to translate to Dallas for sure.
No, that's a great point, Mike. And we're all seeing what playoff football looks like. You know, you're looking at the division around and you're like, man, if we could only play like that this season, or if our defense was only this good, I wish our offense was aggressive like this. Like, let's have some balls and go for it. You know, on third and long, fourth and short, let's do it. Let's not be intimidated. You know, I feel Garrett's teams were just, they didn't scare anybody, man. Offense and defense, they didn't scare anybody.
No, they knew all you had to do was stop Zeke, you win the game. If you can expose a defense by running screens and continue to run screens, and you know that's what you got to do to win, is just screens, mm-hmm. it's embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me... And for me, the thing that I also like about this is how they're going to integrate Mike McCarthy with Will McClay and, you know, the draft, what they're looking for. We kind of heard Stephen Jones say that they're going to do some tweaking here as far as, you know, looking at the best player, you know, get playmakers and then fit them into your scheme. How it's been in the past is, Cowboys, don't get me wrong, Cowboys have drafted pretty good under McClay. It hasn't been perfect, but they have done good. So I think coupling McCarthy's talent evaluation, which is really good. I have a video coming out on something on McCarthy that I think a lot of fans are going to like, so keep an eye on that one. But his talent evaluation is legit, it's legit. So him and McClay, I think it's gonna be a match made in heaven for us. I'm excited about this. I really am. How do you feel about? Let me ask you this, Mike. How do you feel about McCarthy and him working with this new regime? You know, with McClay and Stephen Jones.
I'm excited, and I'll say why. Because under Jason Garrett, we didn't value strong safety. Are the safety position in general, whether it's free or strong. Mm-hmm. We didn't value interior linemen. A lot of our focus was on the offense side of the ball for a long time under Jason Garrett. And I think with Mike McCarthy, he isn't scared to go get a ha-ha Clinton Dix, real early in the draft, or, mm-hmm. Sam Shields, these guys, he wants focus and level playing fields on both sides of the ball. And that's what makes this thing exciting. Will McClay dropped, kind of like a little nugget today on DallasCowboy.com. He said, and he was talking hypothetical, but we know Mike Nolan loves beef in the middle at the three tech at the one technique, right? And he said, if this team wants, bigger interior guys, we got to go find those guys. And that's exactly as me and you, mm-hmm. as fans, that's what we've been screaming.
Right.
For years, right, so that's what gets me excited is Mike McCarthy already sat down with Will McClay and said, this is what I want. This is what I look into a player. It ain't the philosophy of the right kind of guys, he can play football, but not at a high level, but I still want it because he's the right kind of guy. He has good attitude. Sometimes, get you a nasty dog fighter that's going to motivate some people. And I think Mike McCarthy, Will McClay sat down and discussed that already.
No, that's a great point. Yeah, they have acknowledged that they've been in meetings, and that Stephen Jones talked about they've had really productive meetings with McClay and McCarthy and the expectations. And yeah, man, I just talked about that as well on the defensive tackles. That's an exciting statement for me. You know, the video with McClay, that set the tone for the rest of the video. You know, if they want to get bigger, we'll get bigger. And it's going to happen. You know, we're finally going to get away from the mediocrity at defensive tackle, because it has. It hasn't been good. It's been ugly, you know?
Very.
I mean, very. I mean, if you want to get pressure, complete pressure on a quarterback, nothing spells pressure than coming up from the middle, because it flushes your quarterback out, you know? Do you have a mobile quarterback that can handle that, you know, or do you have a statue? So, it's going to be good, and it's going to be good for our defensive ends. Our linebackers are going to be able to roam around more, and
our corners are going to be able to cover just a little bit more. I mean, it's going to help. That's the trenches. I mean, it's kind of cliche, but if you played football and you were a playoff, either high school, college, whatever, you know, if you win the trenches, you're definitely winning the game.
Yeah.
And we Cowboys have not won trenches at all. That's why we lost to the Rams. That's why we couldn't stop the run this year. That's why we couldn't even complete tackles against Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers. That all changes under Mike Nolan and Mike McCarthy's staff.
Very, very good point. Now, speaking on the defensive line and this kind of thing, let's talk about this. The hot boys, right? There's a whole thing here with Tank, the Marcus Lawrence, talking about, you know, the 49ers hot boys. They have an extra Z at the end of it, but, you know, he has a lawyer and all this other junk. But for me, and I know you and I have talked about this, it's like you can't give yourself a nickname if you're not doing it on the field, man, right? Like, what's your thoughts on this whole the Marcus Lawrence hot boys, you know, kind of off-season rift, I guess you could say?
It's so sad that, and DeMarcus Lawrence put out a tweet today saying that it's for the mental, it's for life outside of football. If it's for that, then why is it in football?
Mm-hmm.
That's my point here, and I don't like it. You know, you're too busy, you know, trying to sell hot boy chains and hot boy beanies and hot boy shirts, and you're a football player. Go act like it. You know, maybe the 49ers defense can call themselves the Hot Boys because they're in a Super Bowl. They look like Aaron Rodgers. They made Aaron Rodgers look like crap. Did you see what Aaron Rodgers did to us against you, DeMarcus Lawrence, against your Hot Boys? Where were you then?
Yeah, they haven't been.
That's my feeling. And then Antoine Woods, and I touched on this already, has the audacity to introduce himself to Mike McCarthy with the Hot Boys hat on. Yeah. I really hope that this administration under Mike McCarthy sits down with these tools and says that needs to go away and you need to focus on football. I really hope that happens.
No, I know. And for real, like, honestly, everybody that's out there listening, it is, man. I mean, I don't know how you cannot be against that. You know, these guys need to be humble. They need to concentrate on football, not this. It's a lifestyle. It's a movement. Whatever the hell it is, it just makes you look. You have pie on your face at the end of the day because you didn't perform. You're not forcing turnovers. You're not getting sacks. I mean,
against Green Bay? Where was the Hot Boys against Chicago? Where were the Hot Boys against Sam Darnold and the Jets?
Oh man. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Jets. That's when I knew that this season was down the drain, dude. When we lost the Jets, I was like, that's it. This ain't going to be nothing this year. We ain't nothing this year.
And you know what's crazy? Xavier Woods was on Undisputed, and he was talking to Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. And Shannon Sharp said, you know, what happened with the Jets? He said, we really didn't have any film on Sam Darnold, so we're just going into the game. What coaching staff allows you to even do that?
Unprepared.
No game plan against Sam Darnold? Mind blowing to me. And I can get it if it was like a rookie quarterback or something like that. But what is Sam Darnold, second year guy? I'm sure you could have had something on him to go out there and scheme against. But what were the Hot Boys at? against Sam Darnold, you know, against Philadelphia when it really mattered. There's just so many things that makes me so mad about this hot boy stuff that Super Bowl winning coaches probably wouldn't put up with it. And that's why I'm betting on Mike McCarthy to shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully this thing will be just something in the rearview mirror, you know, just, you know, bring in some new talent, playmakers, and let's go to work, man. Put your hard hat on, bring your lunch box to work, and let's grind, man. Let's get after it, man. Let's get after it. You know?
Agreed.
But you know, let's hit up some draft talk. You know, people love talking about the draft. It is draft season, so you know, the Shrine game was last week. This week we got the off-season bowl games, All-Star game, I guess you could say, the Senior Bowl. So, you know, practices are ongoing this week, and then on Saturday the game happens. But what's your early thoughts on the Cowboys? You know, what's your gut feeling on what they need to address with that 17th pick, Mike? Like, if you had the choice, or maybe not if you had the choice, but what do you think the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy might do?
If they're going to talk to talk, they got to walk to walk. And, you know, Mike Nolan's, you know, recipe for success on defense is having big guys in there, no more under tackle, defensive tackles. And I think they got to go D-line, just make the statement now. Even if they don't sign Byron Jones, I get it, but you want to help your corners, you want to help your strong safety, your free safety, go D tackle in the first round. And I already got a guy in mind.
Who do you have in mind, Mike? Who do you like?
Javon Kinlaw, man, out of South Carolina. But the Cowboys are picking at 17. Panthers, the Cardinals, the Browns, the Raiders, the Colts, and the Bucks need interior or exterior line help too. So could he be there? Could he not be there? Could the Cowboys trade up? I don't know this, but if you want a beast, the guy's 6'6", 310 pounds, Joe. The guy had 6 sacks in 12 games. He had 35 tackles in 12 games. He's a disturbance in the middle. And this guy, if you're going to invest in your defensive line, you don't want to do it in the second, the third. You want to try to get Javon Kinlaw, bro.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, it's interesting how the mock drafts, how they evolve during the offseason. Because right now, you know, the hot name you're seeing in a lot of mock drafts is Delpit, right? So you get Delpit in here in these mock drafts, and you're kind of trying to visualize how he'll help the Cowboys, and you know, would he in fact be the best pick at 17? You know, is he the best player at 17? So
will he be there at 17? Redskins, Giants, Panthers, Jaguars, and Browns need a guy like Delpit.
Yeah, and the other part about it too is, a lot of the times the guys that are getting mocked real early on in the season, they're not there. So it ends up not being the guy. So if we're going by history, there's a good chance it won't be him. You know, that's just the history of the draft. The guys that are always there at the beginning, the hot name in the beginning, it usually is not the guy. So for me, I know the Delpits and this kind of thing. For me, I don't see him being there at 17. It's possible he might fall further down the board. He may go further up. It depends, you know, how these guys evaluate them. Like, is there a durability question on Delpit? You know what I mean? That's kind of a concern for me. Christian Fulton for me is the better of the defensive backs. We're talking about LSU. If Byron Jones is gone, and it's between Fulton and Delpit, I'm taking Fulton. You know.
What about Diggs from Alabama, quarterback, 6'2", 205?
Yeah, he's another one that's going to be in the mix.
He could be gone at 17, though. He'll probably be long gone because you know how many teams need a corner before the Cowboys pick. I mean, there's 10 teams need a corner, and I'm not even including the Cincinnati Bengals because we already know where they're going. There's 10 teams. So you know, a lot of these big-name guys, that, like you said, Joe, that are mocking early, they could be gone.
Yeah, there's going to be a run on some of these guys. And cornerback, that's one of your premium positions. You can never have enough. They're hard to find. They don't grow on trees. And usually with cornerbacks, if you want a good one, you got to get them in the first. You know, to find
–
you know, it's rare that you're going to find a Richard Sherman. I mean, it does happen here and there, but more often than not, that's not the case. So
– exactly.
It's interesting, man. But, you know, let's say you get there to 17, and do you have any trepidation that the Cowboys will trade back? Are you for trading back and getting extra picks, or do you want to stay pat and make your pick right there?
You know, I was actually thinking this as I was putting some of our draft talk together, and I could probably see the Cowboys trading back. Probably not all the way to, you know, 25. I think they can go from 17 to maybe 21, 22, and probably still get a premium pick. You know, they traded back and they got Travis Frederick a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So in this draft, I can probably see him doing that.
I think it's an interesting conversation to have because, you know, you think about Mike McCarthy's time with the Packers. Obviously, he worked with Ted Thompson and Mike Murphy, you know over there. But these guys were trading back, getting extra picks, just throwing bodies at positions, you know.
Right.
And they would hit on a lot of these guys. So it'll be interesting if the Cowboys tweak that, like, because I would say what, like the last four drafts, they've haven't moved. You know, they've kind of stayed where they've been. It's been kind of a
they were under the best pick available type thing. Mm-hmm. But are you familiar with the Xavier McKinney from Alabama?
Yeah, that's actually the guy that I would prefer over Delpit. But that's just me. I like the physicality. I like that he's a playmaker, and you know, he's a strong safety, obviously, but
he's not just a strong safety. He's textbook strong safety. And here's what I mean by that. Hmm. You know, you don't want him playing cover one and he's the single high. You're gonna make McKinney fail in your system if you do that. He can cover tight on tight ends. He can play in the box if you need him to.
Yeah.
And he has range. I think he's a sideline to sideline guy. And you know, if these big names, you know, Diggs, Kinlaw, or Delpit are gone, and you're still sitting there at 17, this is the guy, Xavier McKinney. I mean, this is like the safest pick that you can go get. That's gonna be a day one blockbuster for your football team.
Yeah, I think McKinney's not getting enough talk right now. But if you put him, if you're talking about a playmaker right out the gates, to me, it's him. You know, it's McKinney. You know, and for the Cowboys, you got to get tougher. They don't scare anybody, and they're not tough enough. I think McKinney brings you that swagger, that toughness, and somebody in the secondary. I mean, you got Jordan Lewis is your only other scrappy, tough DB. Exactly. Everybody else is, you know, kind of. What do you call it? Finesse, man.
Yep. Yep. And McKinney, real quick, 6 sacks in the last 2 years, and McKinney has 5 interceptions in the last 2 years. Yeah. So he's a off-the-edge guy. He's a box guy. He's a tight end coverage guy, and he can go sideline to sideline.
Yeah, that's my pet cat, man. You know, depending on if the defensive tackles are gone and – depending on what we do with cornerback, that's my pet cat right now. It's early, you know, and like I said, a lot of these mock drafts, you know, projections, it won't be there. So for me, McKinney, but you know, once we get to you know, free agency and closer to the draft, that we may be talking about something completely different, man. Different. Yep. We might be talking, you know, defensive end. We might be talking wide receiver, you know. It's quite possible. So we'll see, man. We'll see how this draft starts to evolve and take shape. But it's going to be fun, man. Do you have any other prospects you're looking at that you'd like for the Cowboys?
Not off my head. There was a couple of wide receivers. There was one. He was a dang good slot guy. And I didn't put down his name, but you could potentially get him at 17, you know, depending on what happens in free agent and stuff. Go ahead, and I'll find that name that I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Senior Bowl, there's a lot. Just right here in the Senior Bowl, there's a lot of good receivers in the Senior Bowl just in this game. But, you know, it's one that's it's another deep class. Last year, I would say it was a pretty good class. You know, a lot of those receivers contributed, you know, and contributed well. So, and I think this draft class is just as deep, if not deeper, which is good. And, you know, it's quite possible Cowboys take a look at one, you know, especially under Mike McCarthy. Claypool, he's a good one. Hill out of Ohio State. Pittman, USC. These kinds of guys.
Hill is the slot guy, right?
Hill would be your slot guy if the Cowboys brought him in.
That's the guy I was looking at. Thank you for that.
Yeah, KJ Hill.
KJ Hill, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, but you got Randall Cobb. Well, we don't know that for sure. And even if we do, you know, that's the thing about Mike McCarthy. He is going to have players in place and good and better depth. You know, these guys will leave. He'll have somebody in place. With Garrett, I felt that we always had our pants down. If somebody was out, we were in trouble. We didn't have anybody. If Amari Cooper was out, we're in trouble. Gallup's out, we're in trouble. So with McCarthy, I feel like we're gonna be able to do a lot better in that area. You know,
I think you have to. I mean, Cowboys always hyped up depth, and you know, we got some good depth. You know, we got versatile guys.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when the lights came on and they had to go in and be versatile or go in and provide that depth, it never showed.
Right. Exactly, man. Exactly. Exactly, bro. I mean, and hopefully that's one of the things we're going to see with this change. It's not going to be about that. It's going to be about we want the best players, and that's it. And then we'll fit them into our – I love hearing that. I heard that yesterday from Stephen Jones talking about Mike McCarthy, and I was like, man, finally, man. This is a breath of fresh air, man. Like, yes, get the best player and put him into our scheme, get him coached up. And let's win some battles, man. There's too many times where our guys didn't win their battles. They couldn't win the one-on-ones. Especially on that line, you know. I'm excited for the scheme changes and everything, man. I think we're going to do – it's just going to be better, you know, overall. It's going to be good for us.
You might be right, and I think you are right, Joe.
Now – talking about what's coming up next. All right, so we got the Senior Bowl coming up, and then that pretty much ends the collegiate, you know, all-star games. That's the biggest one. And then in February we got the NFL Combine, you know, the Underwear Olympics. And after that, free agency, baby. Free agency.
It'll be here before you know it.
It'll be here before you know it. You know, and we do have, you know, before free agency, you do have that window of a
franchise tag window.
Yeah, the franchise tag window. So let me hit you up with that, Mike. Mm. Yeah, looking at this team right now and hearing what you're hearing, what do you think happens with these three players? All right. I'm gonna give you three names and you just tell me what you think is gonna happen to them, all right? Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott, and Byron Jones. What happens with these three guys, in your opinion?
In my opinion, Dak gets the franchise tag. You know, reports came out that Stephen Jones said Dak Prescott's number one. Number two was obviously Amari Cooper. Transition tag, second round tender, which means if a team can offer a contract, the Cowboys have to match it. If they don't, they give up the second round, and they get Amari Cooper, and we get their second round pick. And then 31, Byron Jones, the time in Dallas has expired. I think I don't even think that they'll offer him anything. I doubt that the agents and the Cowboys will be in talks, just because, you know, there's always so much piece of the pie that can go around, and Byron Jones is going to expect a lot of that pie. And unfortunately, he don't suit the pie. He might suit the team, but he don't suit the pie, and the pie is what controls it.
Yeah. Nah, that's a good take, man. And you're already hearing that the Eagles are, that they're already going to be in play. I'm like, let's go, man. You can have them. You know, and I know that there's the fans, you're hating around Byron Jones and this and that. I'm like, no, man, come on. If you can get better, get better. And you can get better.
Exactly. Would you want a guy that covers and has a high PFF rating? Or do you want a guy that covers and tries to go for the football?
Yes, yes. No, what is it, like 5 career interceptions or something?
I doubt if it's that.
Maybe 2? It's some crazy low number, dude. It's like, man.
I've seen his first interception in 2016 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that was on a second-half Hail Mary. Before the second half began, it was like time was expiring in the second quarter, and I seen him get his first interception against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that was in 2016, dude.
It might be 2. It's between 2 and 5, but I think I also saw that the last time he did get interception, he was still playing safety, which was the season before.
2 interceptions.
So that's you can do better than that, man. I mean, do you want to pay? What is it?
He went 2 years without getting a pick. Yeah. He got 1 in 16, 1 in 17, and 0 in both 18 and 19. Why would you want a guy because they don't throw to his side? You had Cheeto over there. Of course, you're gonna pick on him. And then when Byron got picked on, and he had big plays go to his side.
Oh, and some of these teams knew to go at him. I remember the Patriots were going at him hard, and they were like,
"Yep."
They knew something. They were prepared. They attacked the crap out of that man. The Texans, DeAndre Hopkins ate his ass, tossed his salad left and right, man. It was ugly. That was not a good one. I think he did have a good one with Michael Thomas, but there were some games where, you know, it was not pretty, man. It wasn't. You know.
No, and you know. And big-time players, which we don't really have on defense. I mean, what player stepped it up for us in the fourth quarter when the Cowboys went 0-5 in one-possession games? That's where you want your corner. That's when you want your defensive tackle, somebody to go make a play on a football. And a lot of times, Jeff Heath was in the right time, in the right place at the right time, leading this team in interceptions. And it wasn't 6 interceptions. It was 3 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Don't settle for mediocrity. Don't settle for the name on the back of the jersey.
Right on, man.
Go get you some players, man. Some ballers.
And that's the other thing I like about this is, like, we're not talking about, oh, this cornerback doesn't fulfill the hype requirements for Chris Richard. Those days are over. If you're the better player, you're the better player. And I think that's why I think Jordan Lewis is going to really benefit from this change. Yeah, he's going to benefit because he makes plays, and that fits the profile of Mike McCarthy. We want a playmaker. We don't care if you're 5'10", 5, whatever. You know, if you're making plays, we want you out there. So, you know, who's to say that, they let Byron walk and they put Jordan out there? He can do it. He did it at Michigan.
I trust him to do it.
Yeah, and he'll turn his head. I think he was one of the only ones that did not turn his head. Cheeto, I think he'll benefit from the coaching upgrade as well. But Jordan Lewis, for me, I think is going to be the one that's going to really pop off this season, man.
Mm-hmm. And he started at corner pretty much his whole rookie year. Yeah. And then Chris Rashad came in, and that's when he got dumped down on the depth chart.
There you go.
And so, I mean, he was doing some good things as a rookie in the National Football League. And that goes – people don't even pay attention to that. People don't even remember that.
That's money right there, baby. I mean, we're talking about – and it's true, man. Like, he made plays, and then Rashard comes in here with the height restrictions or whatever you want to call it. I mean, that's what it was. That's what it was. I mean, we would always talk about the draft. Like, I like this cornerback. Oh, but wait, he's not 6 foot, or he's not 6'1", 210. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad that crap is going to be gone, man. Give me the best player. Let's beat up some people. Let's make turnovers. Let's pop the ball out. You know what I mean?
You want to hear gold?
Hit me with it. Hit me across the head and knock me out.
Jordan Lewis has been on this team for 3 years, and he has not, ever since he wore a star in his helmet, he has not finished the season without an interception.
Boom. That's beautiful. And that's being not even full time, you know, with Rashard for 2 seasons.
Exactly. So,
man, I can't wait, man. My expectation for Jordan Lewis in this new regime, I think he's gonna benefit really good from it, guys. You know?
What about Anthony Brown? You think they try to skip on Jones and try to do something with Brown?
That's a very interesting, you know, conversation, because during the season I kind of had written him off, you know, kind of like, but like we talk about, or like I said, you know, cornerbacks don't grow on trees, you know.
Yep.
You might be surprised he gets a deal and you're like, what the hell, that much for Anthony Brown? It could happen. But
if Cheeto, yeah, and it probably wouldn't be that much, but if Cheeto can benefit from this new coaching staff, I know Anthony Brown can, because Anthony Brown was another one that played a big role in his rookie year for the Cowboys.
That's true. That is true. So maybe that's one that we don't want to put dirt on quite yet. Maybe they'll throw him an offer and he'll want to stick around, and, you know, cornerback doesn't become high on the draft needs. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, that'll help you, you know, put your draft stock into a position that you might need more help in.
Exactly.
If you can retain Byron Jones, or excuse me, Anthony Brown, have Cheeto, have Jordan Lewis, you can go get you a corner in the fifth or sixth round, you know, for some depth. And, you know, and usually when you start getting in the fourth or fifth corner, what are they, Joe? They're special teamers.
Yeah.
So Fossil is going to probably pick some guys off the street or something to plug in there.
Right on, man. Right on. That sounds like a good plan to me, man. It really does. Like I said, like, during the season, not so much, but now that we're talking about it right now, and you know, how do you not totally, you know, get wiped out in free agency with your own guys? That might be in the plans right there, man. And I'm fine with it. I really am. I'm fine with rolling with Jordan and Anthony Brown if you can keep him. But we'll see, man. It's going to be interesting there.
It's going to be very interesting, especially when that free agent, because we talked about this, you know, they're not going to dip in. They might dip into third tier, but that second tier is going to look awfully pretty. And we might go get some gems in free agency.
I think they need to. I think they, at least one of them guys, at least.
And Will McClay dropped a little nugget today, too, about free agency.
Yeah.
So that we could be spinning, you know, we're not going to overdo it. Brandon Carr overdo it, but, you know, we might throw a couple of dollars here and have dollars there.
Oh, yeah. There'll be players. A lot of these rosters are going to be churning, you know, so.
They got 28 free agents, so they got to do something.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun, you know. We got money to spend, obviously. You know, we don't have a lot of money to blow, but we are in the top five with cap space.
Cap space, yeah. What was it, 81? And I don't know if that report that I saw with 81, if that was for the projected salary increase, cap increase.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, I mean, Cowboys, they got themselves in a good situation. you know, and the Cowboy fans think, oh, you know, we go sign all these players. I'm telling you right now, more than half of that is already allocated to Dak and Cooper and, you know, whoever else might get signed.
Yeah, that's straight facts. This isn't something like Stephen Jones is like just now coming up with the numbers. You know, this is like, that's the cap guy. That's the negotiator, you know, so it's not like they already know, you know, they have a plan in place. But this isn't going to be like, all right, free agency's here. What do we do? You know what I mean?
So, exactly. And in the Cowboys, what they like to do is, you know, throw money, you know, bring players in for visits. And if they like them, and if they stay another day, they're probably going to be signed. And they've done it with players. They just did it with Mike McCarthy, Bill Parcells. So, you know, keep an eye on who they're bringing in when the free agent hits. And it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. See who makes a visit. You know, do they stay another day? That's a great point, Mike. If they're gone, that's probably it, you know.
and they did it this year, too, you know, with the player workouts. But, I mean, they have to make an immediate impact on Mike McCarthy and Will McClay to get signed. I mean, that hours within, you know, doing whatever they got to do to get that contract done.
Yeah, guys, and we'll take a deeper dive on free agency. Like I said, like we said in the last podcast, sometimes these coaches, they want to bring familiar names into the fold, you know, because they kind of know the system. A lot of coaches do this around the league. So any ex-players that McCarthy coached or drafted, they could be in the mix. You know, they could be in the mix. So we'll keep an eye on that one too. But we'll take a deeper dive on free agency here, guys. Right now it's, you know, Senior Bowl and Combine. That's going to take precedent. Then after that, it'll be, you know, obviously free agency will be next after that. But we'll be talking about all these subjects as we go along. Mike, this was a great podcast episode, baby. Let these guys know where they can find you, man.
Oh, it's always a great podcast, Joe. Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube, Dallas Cowboy Football News on Facebook, DCF News 1 on Twitter, guys. And go ahead and post a comment or send me a DM. That's where the conversation starts.
Indeed. You got hit up my boy Mike, man. Let's get him up there, man. This guy, you know, I've known Mike here for a while now. You know, we hung out at the draft for a bit. Great guy. A very passionate Cowboys fan. Hit him up. You know, give him some follows. If you haven't followed him yet, hit him up, man. Just a great guy, like I said. And that's why he's my co-host, man. Thank you,
appreciate
Mike.
Appreciate that.
I appreciate you, bro. Yeah.
Appreciate that, man. Same to you, man. I'm telling you. And, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, is that guy authentic? Is it off the camera? I'm telling you, Joe is the same person on and off the camera. Straight up. Like, probably one of the best guys I've ever met in part of the YouTube community type thing, if you want to put it that way. But it's always a pleasure, and I was honored, you know, to be asked to co-host with you on the Frisco Report, man. I was excited, and I'm glad I'm here. It's almost been a year coming up.
Yeah, man, goes by quick, man. And the chemistry, on point, baby, on point. But that's it, guys. We really do appreciate it. Give our Frisco Report a follow on Twitter. It's the Frisco Report on Twitter. Hit it up there. We appreciate that. And thanks for listening to us. And catch us for the next episode, guys. Peace.